Greetings, saints. Many, many, many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for blessing us to be able to do this. And we ask, Lord, for your anointing, your wisdom, to go forth to your saints, prepare them for these days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay, saints. I'm going to continue because God keeps providing subject matter for this one subject, walking in the man-child steps. This will be number 5. And this first one is grace to ascend Zion. See, that's our trip. Let's go up to Zion, right? It's to the bride. This is the prize. We're seeking the prize, right? And Claire Pinar gave this one on 9/11. I'm going to share it with you. I dreamed that Rian and I were in a forest, kind of like a wilderness, right? Walking up a mountain. I would say going up Mount Zion to Zion, the bride. It was so cold, and we were the only two people I could see. In fact, I did not even know whether there were people anywhere else on the path. So, you know, this is, in a way, we walk this path alone because we don't pay attention to other people or compare ourselves with other people or compete with other people. We're racing against the clock, of course, to be in the bride before that door closes. In some, it's just to be in the church before the door closes. So, but it's true that there are relatively few on this path. It was really getting so cold and it was so silent. That sounds like coming tribulation, right? She said it was lonely. And I heard a voice from within me say, "Look up." And there was a white helicopter hovering around. I'm going to call this Heavenly Places in Christ, a white helicopter. And, of course, that's what was being sought here, is Heavenly Places in Christ. But there is a way to get there that's by grace, right? God sends help, doesn't he? Well, there were three men inside, a pilot who was in control, who she said, and I believe is right, God the Father, a younger man who was smiling like he was our friend, and I believe that, like she said, this is Jesus, and she said that I've been singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus since March. So, and almost every day, always completely involuntary. And then an older man with white hair who was going to help us. You know, God said that he would send help. And who is the man-child David's? According to Psalm 89:19-21, where it says, "Then thou speakest in vision to thy saints, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him." And, of course, we know Jesus is the arm of the Lord, right, who is strengthening and giving help through the David man-childs. And that's what's coming, folks. The anointing is going to bring this, and it is a spiritual coming of the Lord. So, in his people, in his first fruits, to lead the rest through the wilderness, right? Amen. Well, I started freaking out because the normal ways of getting into the helicopter as it was flying weren't working. It felt like we were running out of time, and a lot of people feel that way, that they're running out of time. Well, he tells you what to do here, right? and I was certain the pilot would turn around and leave, as it was dangerous for them to be so high up, but they didn't seem to be running out of fuel, despite my thoughts that were racing around. Well, you know, a lot of those thoughts come from Satan. They tell you you've run out of time, you're not there yet, you know. But remember, justification by faith. You're justified because you believe that Jesus took away your sins and gave you his righteousness. And faith is accounted as righteousness, right? So you have to keep that in mind. And the devil wants to make you afraid and fearful and unbelieving, you know, that you could possibly make this. But this is not by your power, it's by God's power, right? Then the white-haired man let down a paper cup tied to a piece of twine, like a little kid's science experiment to transfer sound energy. Paper telephone, I think it's called. Yep, well, back in my day, that was before Claire's day, they did make these things. That was kids' toys. And, yep, it was a paper telephone. And it was not imaginable that these simple things could be anything that would help, right? So we know the white-haired man here is the man-child reformers speaking to the people in simple ways, I might add, to show them how to live in heavenly places in Christ, as Deuteronomy 4 and 36 through, well, I'll just use 36 here. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he made thee to see his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Well, we know the man-child Moses heard his words out of the midst of the fire, right? And he turned to bring that word to God's people in Egypt. And Psalm 95 and 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, oh, that ye would hear his voice. Harden not your heart as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness. Harden not your heart. Hear his voice. Many times we're guilty of reading what he has said, but not hearing his voice. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. So we do want to have faith in the word, and reading it is very important to that end. But there are many hearers of the word and not doers of the word, deluding themselves, as the Bible says. And so we have to be careful that we hear his voice. We act on his voice. You know, his voice may come to you once, it may come to you twice, it may get quieter and quieter even if you don't listen, until it doesn't talk to you anymore, and you just passed up a chance or a place in your life that you could have progressed towards the kingdom. So when you hear his voice, do something about it. Like verse 8 says, harden not your heart. All right. Micah 6 and 1. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Well, there was the voice coming out of the helicopter, heavenly places in Christ, through the man-child, down to those that were seeking to scale the mountain, right? Praise God. That's what we're all seeking to do. At first glance, this looked too silly to even consider viable. But something about their calmness made me calm and trusting. Well, yes, they are in the rest, are they not? Total rest in the promises of God. And they can impart that calmness to you. They comfort, you know, the words of God comfort, and the words of God give faith, which is what brings you into the rest, right? So hearing the voice of the Lord through the David man-child body will lift us up out of our problems and give us rest from our works and our enemies. And also, God chose the foolish methods of the world so only the righteous would understand by a gift from God. Wouldn't you call a paper telephone a foolish method, right? Yeah. Well, it reminds us 1 Corinthians 1:23-31. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness. Yep, like the paper telephone. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So these who have become as a child, they take hold of these foolish methods of the world to because they have a revelation and a gift of faith from God. The rest can't do it. They scoff at it, right? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For behold your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Yeah. Well, God has called us to become his children, you know, in our relationship to him. And not to be high-minded or mighty in the flesh or wise in the flesh, right? He hasn't called us to do that. In fact, he gave this gospel so that anybody in any walk of life and any amount of intelligence can come to him through their faith. But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame them that are wise. Yeah. They're ashamed to lower themselves in the eyes of the people around them. They seek the glory of man instead of the glory of God, as Jesus said. And even the religious leaders did this, as Jesus said, right? That he might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world. It's certainly a string hanging down with a hole in the bottom of a cup and a knot tied on the inside is a weak thing to pick somebody up and put them in a helicopter, right? So this certainly fits. He chose the weak things of the world. Amen. That he might put to shame the things that are strong, or either them that are strong, because things probably wasn't there. And the base of the world and the things that are despised did God choose. Yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. Now this is really foolishness with the world and the worldly church. They call it name it and claim it, you know. But God chose the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. What we see in the Bible doesn't first appear in the natural realm. It first appears in our faith, in our mind. And we put our faith on it, and then it changes things in the physical realm. So the worldly, they have to see it before they can believe it. Thomas was kind of that way. The Lord saved him. And the world is that way, and the worldly church is that way too. They don't believe before they see. And so they don't see. You see, that's the way faith is. God chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. And when you speak the things that are not, like by whose stripes you were healed, and when you believe that and act on that, you get that. And the world doesn't know this secret. And the worldly church doesn't know this secret. It's never been taught to them because their men have never walked by faith. Yeah. So that no flesh should glory before God. Nobody will be able to brag if the only way you get there is by believing in Him. Who can brag? And that is a gift of God, isn't it? That faith is a gift of God. And so that no flesh should glory before God, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Yes, you didn't get here because of you. You got here because of Him. He drew you. No one comes unto the Son except the Father draws them. He gives them a gift of faith, and He draws them. He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, considering these things, it's kind of like that helicopter up there wanting to lift the people up into the helicopter, which is bring them into heavenly places by grace. Notice, it's by grace, not by climbing, not by your works. It is by grace. All of your climb is by grace, right? He wants to shorten the trip, too, by the way. A helicopter can do quick work of bringing you to the top of a mountain. So, Jesus was made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, we should glory in our weaknesses, that the power of Christ would rest upon us, Paul said. Think about that. Think about it. Glory in your weaknesses so that the power of Christ will rest upon you. He won't put this on a proud person, a person who's claiming any credit. He won't give this to them. It's not for the arrogant and the proud and the educated, if you know what I'm talking about. It's not for them. It's for the babes, right? Except we become as a child, we won't enter the kingdom, Jesus said. So we humble ourselves. And this, of course, is also a weak thing, you know, in the world. Someone who turns the other cheek, loves their enemies, this is crazy to them. Walking by faith for something you don't see, this is crazy to them. But that's what we must do. Rion took hold of it first and was lifted right through the bottom of the helicopter. That sounds like grace, doesn't it? Lifted into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He was showing me how it's done. And then it was my turn. The white-haired man lowered the paper cup. And while it looked so flimsy, it was so strong, and took me into the helicopter's belly straight away through a perfect circle cut out of the helicopter's floor. Hallelujah. This is grace. You say, well, looking up that mountain, it doesn't look like we can make it. Claire voiced that concern. You know, it doesn't look like we can make it. But by grace, you can. He can pick you up. He can move you from heavenly places. Just don't despise His very simple methods. Hear His voice. Remember that the string cup telephone is to hear His voice through the white-haired man, the David man child who received it from Jesus, right? He is the arm that strengthens the man child, as we just read. Yeah. I am your friend. The young man, Jesus, said, I am your friend. There's a lot of people don't believe that. They really have a bad idea of God. Jesus is coming, manifested in by the Word and the Spirit, in the man-child body, like he came in the body of the Son of David, Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the white-haired man said, I would never leave you. I'm here to help you always. And, of course, Jesus in the man-child is going to do just that. And the young man said, which we believe is Jesus, said, I am your friend. And the pilot, who we believe is the father, cocked his head at me with a smile. I only saw a side of his face, and I knew he was in agreement. Again, there are people that don't believe that Jesus is their friend. They think he's there to rule over them very harshly. Everything that happens unto them, they feel like he's being cruel to them or whatever, you know. They don't see him as a friend, that everything he does is for our good, as the Bible says. And that without faith, we can't have his best, because he's made this the condition to enter into the blessings of the kingdom. And he can't break his own word. People want him to break his word, but he can't break his own word. He is doing what he can do to get you to the top of the mountain. Notice. Right? And the pilot is in agreement. He sent his son to die in order to enable us to do this. So, Rian and I were then placed in a big circle of believers on the ground outside, far from this cold, icy mountain forest. The people were mostly American, but there was a beautiful Indian family, and some Chinese folk, and some Mediterranean people. It looked dusty, but warmer than the mountain, and there was some greenery here and there. No buildings, no pulpits, just the open air, and then a little ways away, a covered room. It had a ceiling but no sides, with a cross where we can practice what we learn. Okay, well, think about this. As people around the world, as we can see, you know, that are involved in this same trek, right? We're not talking physical, we're talking spiritual. They all have a goal of overcoming. And grace from God is lifting them out of their trials and troubles and tribulations. Grace comes through faith. They are obviously a people of faith. Faith is the condition that God has given, because it separates between the wheat and the tares. God only wants the people of faith. There are many religious people mixed in among the righteous, just as Jesus in the parable of the wheat and the tares. But the thing that separates them is faith. That's it. You want to overcome, you have to have faith in the promises of God. And it doesn't matter if you're the only one on that path. You have to hold to faith in the Word of God in order to overcome this difficulty, this situation, these, as in one of our last dreams, boulders in the way. To follow the man-child, boulders in the way you have to climb over. Hindrances, you know, that appear hindrances that can all be overcome. Yeah, Debbie Finske, you know, was lifted right over the boulders and put down on the path, you know, in her revelation. And so it is. Here, same situation. And the crucified life of obedience to the Word is the only way to the resurrection life of God. And you can't walk that path without faith. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not yet seen, right? And she said, in fact, this cross might even have been in my imagination in the dream as one could see it from the circle of believers. Well, we have to keep our eyes on the cross. That's where we were crucified, and that's where we received the life of God. The exchange was made there. And another white-haired man. You think, oh. No, there are many man-childs. 144,000, according to the scripture. And that could be a spiritual number. It is a spiritual number, but it could also be a physical number. But we know it's a small number compared to the bride and the larger church, right? So, another white-haired man was in the middle of proceedings. But it felt like we'd missed the first half of things. The white-haired man took us on a tour to see a cross and showed us how to see ourselves on it with our imagination. Can you do that? Can you see that you are dead? Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Reckon yourself, for we were crucified with Christ, Romans 6. We were crucified with Him. Can you see it done? Are you worried about who you are and who you are not in your own sight? Are you worried about that? You're not using your imagination. And this is how faith works. It works using imaginations. We behold in a mirror, that's an imagination, the glory of the Lord, and are turned into that same image. That's an imagination, right? From glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So we behold it as done, right? And we, of course, the image is seen in our imagination by faith, right? The little Indian family was so excited and kept on watching me practice. I was praying in tongues. Watching. So excited. Oh, look how exciting the true gospel is. It's not according to your strength that gets you there. It's all dependent upon the Lord's strength and you exercising faith in His strength to get you there. Helicopters don't just show up everywhere, do they? Jude 1 and 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So she was doing this by praying in tongues, which is praying in the Holy Spirit, as Paul said. So, and she was practicing here. Claire was practicing here. This overcoming and praying in tongues. Again, there's the oil. Remember that. We'll come to that again later. The oil of the Holy Spirit enables and empowers us. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And how does the Holy Spirit pray through us to the Father according to His will? Ooh, that's important. By speaking in tongues. And you can have it. Everybody can have this. It's not the gift of tongues that's given in the assembly for the edification of the people. This is the personal prayer tongue that a person receives when they get the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we all went back to the circle. And for some reason, I felt I needed to share that we'd been debt-free since March. And it was now October, 7 months, and we'd been in God's blessing even though we seemed to have forgotten it as trials still came, illness, etc. Well, through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. It is an overcoming these obstacles that makes you strong to enter the kingdom and gives you the knowledge to enter the kingdom, because some people think in their own strength they have to climb over the boulders, right? So that has to be overcome. And then they understand that only the strength of God comes to get us over through faith. We reckon ourselves to be dead in sin, but alive unto God. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Now, he wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it and believe it. I continued saying that the blessing is real and it protects. There we go. Many people are looking for a place of protection, and much of it is in the flesh, and it won't work. Or provision, and they're working that out in the flesh, and it won't work either. So even though we go through trials of our faith, the promise is still true, and we should not forget it ever, or it won't come to pass. James 1, 2 through 8 says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." Notice that patience in your faith, holding fast to your faith, not being double-minded, will cause you to inherit everything, lacking in nothing, he says here. Be patient in your faith. Hold fast the confession of your faith, that it waver not. He is faithful that promised. But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. You need wisdom? Ask of God. Ask it of God. You don't have to run everywhere on the internet looking for it. The first thing you do is ask of God. I can't tell you how many times I've been told. I started asking God for wisdom or truth, and the Lord had me come right to your site. Yeah, that's been told to us many, many times. But you ask God first. Otherwise, you can, you know, go crazy out there with all the schizophrenic stuff that's on the internet. And it shall be given him. It shall be given him. Let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. The devil comes to make you doubt. He wants to cheat you out of your inheritance. Nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So you see, this is the division. The division between the wheat and the tares is the wheat believes it, and they get this free gift from God. The tares do not. They continue on in their sins and are reprobated. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what the Lord says. He is faithful in the little, is faithful in much, right? We then walked back to our silver van, and I felt foolish for sharing that, and that I should have shared about healing instead. The white-haired man followed us to our car and said that there will be time for more sharing, but they're not ready for healing yet. Why is that? Well, there you go. There's that double-mindedness. You want to give this gift to people, but like Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. There is a time for healing. There is a time for provision. There is a time for everything. It's when you come to faith. And then I woke up. Of course, they must learn unwavering faith. Comes before spiritual and physical healing, right? For this dream, by faith at random, I first received white space. And then I received Haggai 1:11. You know what 1:11 is, don't you? It's all through the birth of the man-child. Everywhere it's mentioned, the birth of Jesus is the gematria, 1:11. Yeah. So in context, chapter 1, 8 through 14, and 2, 18 through 19. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lieth waste, while you run every man to his own house. Therefore, for your sakes, the heavens withhold the dew, and the earth withholdeth its fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the grain. Why? They were all seeking their own. They weren't seeking the kingdom. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? Amen. And upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth. It's, in other words, the curse. And upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. That's man's works, right? Then Zerubbabel, who is a type of the man-child, means born from Babylon. He was the first fruits born from Babylon that led God's people. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message, unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Kind of like those in the helicopter, right? I'm with you, says the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us, right? And he was with them in Zerubbabel, right? I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, or Yeshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So the Lord stirred the people up to do this, and he will again, and he is doing it now. The people did not prosper and come out from under the curse until they sought God's kingdom first. And that's where the second part of the context, 2, 18 through 19. Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth, but from this day will I bless you. And that day was the day they began to lay the foundation. They started to work on the kingdom of God, restoring their Zion, their kingdom of God, and their temple, the temple of God within. So, basically, to sum this up, we see Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is the secret. It doesn't make sense to the worldly, but it works. And we're about to see an awesome demonstration of how well this works. And then I received Mark 1 and 4. John came, who baptized in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. Of course, that was what the message in Malachi was all about, right? Or Haggai, excuse me. That's what the message in Haggai was all about. Repentance, right? Repentance or change of mind. That's what it means, right? Brings remission of sins. And then comes healing. Then comes healing. Notice. So, a change of mind. They changed their mind. They changed their mind about seeking their own and instead went to work on the things that are eternal. Right? And from that, everything looked up. okay, well, Claire Pinar got this revelation too. We called it Man, Child, and Bride Lead to the Rest. She got this on September the 18th, this 2019. I had another dream last night, and this time Rian, myself, and our three children were at the front door of a cabin. Cabin kind of reminds you of a wilderness refuge, right? And David opened up the front door. And I believe this represents the David man-child leadership. His hair was a little longer and grayed than what we'd seen on the videos. Well, of course. That's, you know what that comes from? Dealing with God's children. And especially the factious. Yes. Well, anyway, I think it represents matured and submitted to the Father. And we're talking about the man-child body, right? But his teeth were whiter, and he was so smiley. Happy, right? Happy. There was another lady there with him. She had a white apron on. And I believe this represents serving the Lord's children in purity and a little head covering. But her hair was long and blonde. I believe that represents being submitted. Your hair is a sign of submission. So when it's blonde, it's kind of symbolized your submission to the sun. The S-U-N/S-O-N parable, right? And it was in a ponytail. She had a brown, dark beige floral dress on and was very welcoming. And I believe this represents the bride who will invite many who come to learn of the rest. This is all about the rest, right? And remember that Jesus preached it in a relatively small circle. It went to the bride. John called those disciples that followed Jesus, those first fruits people, the bride. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. They went out into a much larger area than Jesus could reach. And they, of course, ordained elders in the church and taught and so on and so forth. And they went out to a much larger area. This is the way it's supposed to work. Not just go to church and get evangelized every Sunday. That's not the plan. Never has been. We thought we were going to be alone in the cabin. And I remember feeling very tired. Yes, life is tiring. And that's what this is talking about. The trials and the tribulations are tiring. But there is a way to get there, and it is the rest. You know, being lifted up into a helicopter has less to do with you than it does with who's lifting you up, right? I think we had been on a long journey, and I believe this is talking about our journeys in this world, in this life, our tribulations. But then we saw David, and we became excited. because the Davids are bearers of good news, right? Yes, repentance, but also good news. The cabin was wooden, and it had been a little path. There had been a little path leading up to the front door. One could park a car to the left under cover. In other words, a place of rest for our human vehicles, right? You know this thing you walk around in? That's a vehicle, right? It's a vehicle for the spiritual man who is the heavenly man, right? Yes. We just got this vehicle for a little while, and then we don't need it. But your vehicle needs to be at rest, meaning your works, your power, your strength needs to be at rest. And that's what the car parked out there represents. But we seem to have walked there. So they went in the spirit, right? It looked very small inside the cabin from what I could see from the outside. And I kept on thinking, the kids sleep better in their own space. I hope they don't wake each other up. Well, she said, the lady, I want to call her Mary, but I don't know if that's her name. I did ask the Lord, and I got an answer on that. I'll tell you that in a minute. But the lady beckoned us to come inside as David had gone back into the kitchen. And David was in the kitchen. Of course, kitchens are places for preparing food, spiritual food for God's people. Drying off his hands after washing some dishes. Well, I think that's what he was doing. There were a few sparkling, clean, and bright white dishes near him on the drying rack, and he used a brilliantly white tea towel to wipe his hands. And the lady said, we've just tidied up the place, and she looked proud, but in a hopeful way, and her cheeks were a flushed pink color, which made her look pretty, and she was slightly plump, but in a healthy, contented way, the way a loving granny looks, only younger with vitality. I'll say that again. The way a loving granny looks, only younger with vitality. And the Lord said to me that this is Mary who brought forth the man-child, as in the text that was given to Claire, which is right here. I'll read it to you. She said, I flipped my Bible open and received Luke 2 and 7 with my finger on the word manger. Now, who was in the manger? Yes, the man-child, who everybody was expecting, that was coming in the name of the Lord, right, to bring salvation and so on. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So, of course, Mary here is a representation of the matured bride. And that matured bride is bringing forth the man-child, right? Out of the midst of the bride comes the man-child. The man-child was raised up to sit upon the throne of David, right? And where was that? In Zion, the bride. And that ruled over what? The rest of the church. You know, that's the parable of the kingdom. And the kingdom is being restored. We've seen our Cyrus show up, and we know that he's going to supply to rebuild the kingdom. Praise be to God. So all of these things are in play right now. We're privileged to live in these times. It is just so awesome. So she took us through to the rooms, and there were just beds in all of these seven bedrooms. So it's a place of rest. And that comes through faith in the promises of God. Amen. Don't forget that. If you study the promises, get them down in your heart, they will give you confidence that God is with you. He will take care of it. He will supply. He will heal. He will deliver, etc. And this rest is from the tribulations and the threats in this world, the curse in this world, right? And I asked her if her and David were expecting more people, and she said, yes, definitely. And I was so glad we wouldn't be wasting so much space with just our family of five. Nope, a lot of people are coming. Many are going to come into the rest through the teachings of the man-child and the bride. Multitudes. And you know what? Let me say, in days you can grow what you couldn't in years of not having this revelation. And many are going to grow very quickly with this revelation of the rest, of receiving grace through faith, right? And I asked her and David what we'll be doing next. And they both laughed and said, go to bed and rest. You're here to rest. Think about it, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. This is the rest. This is the refreshing, said the Lord. But they would not hear. You're here to rest. Go to bed and rest. Rest in His promises. Watch God do the work that you couldn't do. There's so many people out there that are building buildings, you know, building the kingdom, they think, you know. But really, it's God is the only one that can build it, and He only builds it through our rest, not through our mooching, not through our provoking people or manipulating people to slave away in our kingdom of this world, right? I thought the idea sounded amazing, and even my young, energetic children were keen to get into bed and rest. But it was not quite time to go to bed. The sun was still too high. You know, the sun is the one who gives rest, right? Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What is the perfect day? It's when the sun is straight up overhead. There's no shadows, no darkness. He's dispelled all darkness, right? He's straight up overhead. That's the perfect day. Oh, thank you, Father, for your precious revelations and deliverances and provisions and all of these awesome things. Thank you, Father. Lord, put faith in your people, Father. Give us the gift of faith these days. When they saw the helicopter, they had faith. When they got the word out of the helicopter or out of heavenly places, they got faith. And they overcame their tribulation. Thank you, Father, for doing this for us. Thank you for your parables, etc. Then our middle child, our youngest daughter, explored the front path, and she came to show me a little stone. It had a cross on one side, and her name, Tabitha Pinar, on the other side, beautifully engraved. In the natural, she loves collecting all manner of natural things from creation, rocks, shells, sea sponges, etc. And I was in awe, and I took it to David. He said, yes, all of these stones have our names on them. I looked back, and there were thousands of white stones that lined either side of the path leading up to the little cabin. You know, these stones represent the people who have overcome. You know, when the priest reached his hand in the bag for a sign, there was a black stone and a white stone. And when he pulled out the white stone, Israelites knew that this was a sign to them of God's approval. And so Jesus built on that. Revelation 2:17, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give of the hidden manna." There you have it. And it's true. God gives revelation to overcomers. If they don't do anything with it, they lose ground. If they do things with it, they get more revelation, more hidden manna. And he can take it totally away from you, because when a person is in unforgiveness, everything they learn goes out the window. Faction, that demon there, it takes all of the knowledge that they had and throws it away. And that's a terrible thing, to have received such a gift and not done something with it, not humbled yourself to it, and so on, because you will lose it. "And I will give him a white stone," that is, those that overcome and receive of the hidden manna, "I will give him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written," there you have it, "which no one knoweth but he that receiveth it." Remember Tabitha Pinar, that her name was on it, and on the other side was a cross. She had borne her cross, she had overcome, and so she had the white stone, right? And then Claire said, "Then I asked if these are the living stones. And he said, yes, and they come with great blessing." Now this might sound strange. He said, 70 times 70 blessings to those who have their names on the stones. 70 times 70. Now we know that the 70 times 7 are those who forgive from the heart in Matthew 18. And also there, those that don't forgive are turned over to the tormentors by the Father. And but here we see that it is multiplied 10 times, 70. 70 times 70 instead of 70 times 7. As a great blessing from God. The benefits for overcoming unforgiveness, criticism, you know, faction, evil thoughts against others, illegal thoughts without witnesses. The benefits for overcoming that, I believe, is what this 70 times 70 speaks about. A great blessing from God. And the living stones are mentioned in this text. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 9. "Put away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Why? What's the advantage of this? Well, we'll see. It was just like this great blessing of the 70 times 70, you know, to the living stones. "As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation." Notice, as babes, except you become as a child, Jesus said, you will not enter the kingdom. He's talking about humility to grown-ups, right? "Long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Salvation isn't what you have manifestly at the beginning of your walk. You have it by faith. Your salvation is being manifested as you walk, putting away wickedness and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings by your faith in Jesus Christ of what happened at the cross, etc., etc. It's manifested. Your salvation is manifested. All things that are of faith are received by faith, are not received by sight. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. We say we're saved, and we say that by faith, and that's good. But we should know that we haven't fully manifested salvation. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at manifest salvation. We grow into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. That's the 30, 60, and 100. Without bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ, you're not manifesting your salvation. Notice it says that if you partake of the spiritual milk, you have to be spiritual to partake of the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. This is the truth. So, everybody who walks by faith is on the road of salvation. And faith is accounted as righteousness, even when you haven't arrived yet. But we have to bear fruit while we're on this earth continually. That's what Jesus spoke about when he said the 30, 60, and 100-fold. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, unto whom coming a living stone, so you're coming to the Lord as a living stone, a representation of the big stone, Christ, right? A smaller representation of him, rejected indeed of men. Of course, if you follow the Lord, you're going to be rejected of men. Jesus said so. If you want the favor of men, you might as well have stayed in the world because you're not going to have it. If you follow Christ, truly, you'll have enemies in the world and enemies in the church. Those that don't want to go on will be your enemies. But with God, elect and precious, these stones are precious to God. These are the elect. These are the chosen. Notice there's a cross on one side and our name on the other side. These are the chosen. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. See, what is our sacrifice? Our sacrifice is to build God's house rather than just our own house. There are many people out there working, slaving around to build man's houses of worship out there. But we've been called to build God's house, right? Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In other words, the only way you can be acceptable to God is through Jesus Christ, through your faith in the reconciliation that he made at the cross. Because it is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious." That's Jesus, right? The chief cornerstone from which everything else is squared from, right? "And he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame." It shall not be put to shame. You know, the devil tells you all the time that you're going to be put to shame. But it's a lie. If you believe on him, you will find the grace that you need to ascend the Mount of Zion. "For you, therefore, that believe is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve," and let me say, The overwhelming majority of what we loosely call Christianity is doing just this. They disbelieve. The first case is they haven't been told how to enter the rest through the true gospel. And that's what Claire and her family did in this revelation, is they got the revelation of the stone. And it goes on to say, the stone which the builders rejected. Notice, he said that you would be rejected of men, so you too are a stone which the builders rejected, right? If you're an overcomer, if you're bearing your cross, on its white stones was the cross, right? If you're bearing your cross, you're bearing the crucified life, you are going to be rejected of men. And who was it that rejected the men of God in the Bible? It was God's people. Yeah. Who was it that turned Jesus over to the beast? God's people, God's false leadership. Right? It's always that way. The things that have been are the things that shall be. It's always that way. These are all of the stones which the builders rejected. They rejected Jesus, and they rejected everybody in his image, and they still do. Remember, after Jesus, they went after the disciples, didn't they? Yes, of course. And all through the Old Testament, they went after the prophets. Yes, they did. The same was made the head of the corner. So the stone which the builders rejected, to their enemies' great sadness, they became their head, like Joseph did when his brothers sold him into bondage, and the harlot lied about him, and he was thrown into prison. But he came out to be over all the land of Egypt. He became the head, and guess what? His brothers and all of those people that lied about him and that harlot that lied about him, they're all under his authority. Notice. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Well, Jesus was a stone of stumbling. The prophets were stones of stumbling. Those who walk in the steps of Jesus today are stones of stumbling. And they are a rock of offense. Don't be worried because you offend the status quo. Don't let that bother you. This is part of it. A rock of offense. For they stumble at the word. Notice, the stone of stumbling is also stumbling at the word. Notice that. Jesus was the word. He was a stone of stumbling. They stumble at the word. You can't give the truth to someone who God won't give it to. You might try. I mean, we try the door all the time. We share a little gospel and see if somebody's receptive. If they are, we can go on. You know, if we don't, you might as well walk away. They're not ready to receive, right? They stumble at the word, being disobedient. If you're not obeying God's word, you're disobedient. You're rejecting the stone. You're one of those that should be building, but you're rejecting the stone, the chief cornerstone and all the other stones. Whereunto also they were appointed. Wow, so there are those that are appointed to fall away. But ye are an elect race. Elect is the same word for chosen. Right? There are many called, but few chosen. You have to be called to get to be chosen, of course. But not everybody that is called will be chosen. So, that's clear. An elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. These are those that have their white stone and their cross on one side and their name on the other, right? A people for God's own possession, that they may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. What an opportunity! How fortunate we are to be called of God, to be chosen of God, and to partake in his mighty kingdom on this earth. Claire said, I kept on turning the stone around with my fingers. It was so pretty. I did not need to look for my name on the stone. I knew it was there somewhere. The dream ended when I heard my children cough slightly in their rooms, naturally speaking, in this physical world. So she woke up with the children coughing. I opened my Bible by faith at random and received Luke 24, 23 through 24. And when they found not his body, Jesus was resurrected. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Yes, they reported the truth that Jesus had arisen. Jesus was caught up to the throne, right? After that. And certain of them that were with us went to the tomb and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. She said, my finger was on vision of angels. So this is a sign of the resurrection and catching up to the throne of the man-child. Amen. How important it is for her to receive this word by faith at this time. As the stone which the builders rejected, you know, became the head. He was caught up to the throne, right? So it is with the man-child. Everything that happened to Jesus will happen to his body, his spiritual body. Everything that happened to his physical body will happen to his spiritual body, you know? He is, once again, walking in a body on this earth, manifesting more and more, 30, 60, and 100-fold, the first fruits of which will be the man-child leadership. You can't teach somebody you haven't received, right? Then I felt like I needed to flip open my Bible one more time and opened on Hebrews 10 and 36. For you have need of patience. Oh, there it is again. That having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So, are you walking in the knowledge that you have? Are you in willful disobedience, of course, which gives you no sacrifice, according to Hebrews 10, 26. But here, you have need of patience, just like James chapter 1 said, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Continue to believe you've received. You're counted righteous through your faith, just like Abraham was accounted righteous. He had no ability of his own to bring forth the promised seed. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? He had no ability to bring it forth. Neither was Sarah. No physical ability. But he wavered not through unbelief. And he only considered the promise. And so it happened by the supernatural power of God. He tried in the natural. Everybody does. He tried in the natural and he brought forth Ishmael. And God would not accept that as the promised seed, the promised fruit, let me say. Isaac had to be the promised fruit, and it had to come from God, and only his power could bring Isaac forth. Isn't that awesome? So then Claire also sent this revelation. It's called Daughter of the King. She received this on 8/4/19. I had this dream which strengthened and encouraged me tremendously as I was preparing for a spiritual trial. I was not put to shame, and the Lord was victorious. And I want to share it with you as it might have significance for the larger corporate body when one looks at the dates and types in the dream. I agree, that's what I saw there too. That quite often God uses a smaller parable to reveal a bigger parable. Many times in dreams we have about local UBM, we also know that this is just a microcosm of the macrocosm. It's a smaller parable, just like David can represent a body of people, and so on. So local UBM in many revelations represents larger UBM. And so does this revelation here. She said, my dream yesterday was of Abraham coming to visit me. Which is wonderful, because a year ago, God came down in a dream to give me a hug. I opened my front door in the dream, and a white light filled my sight, and I felt warm and comforted. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Guess what God's telling you, you know? In this dream, Abraham said, I am a friend of God, and you are a daughter of God. That was nice. So she received that, and maybe she represents the bride here, you know. We'll see. You know, Abraham, as she said, Abraham was a friend of God, and Claire means brilliance. And I believe that brilliance here can represent or symbolize the glory of God, right? Abraham was called a friend of God, and his name in Hebrew means father of a multitude. And we who walk by faith are his children, right? I was told years ago that the man-child is an Abraham who will be the father of a multitude. Okay, so that's pretty neat. But then, she said, he had a pale pink tunic on and also a white garment over it, like a jacket or coat. He had a big beard and messy hair. I was looking for a wedding ring on his hand because I thought that he reminded me of John the Baptist. And, you know, even mentions or thoughts of these things in a dream mean something, you know. She was looking for a wedding ring on Abraham's hand, but she thought that he reminded her of John the Baptist. Well, you know, every Abraham who brings forth much fruit has to be somewhat John the Baptist. Jesus himself started preaching with the exact words that John the Baptist did, the words that he ended up with. And they were about repentance. So the mention of John the Baptist here, even though this is Abraham, we'll see in just a minute, represents one who preached repentance to make the way for the coming of the Lord in lives. Did you realize that's what John the Baptist represented? Because without the repentance that he preached, Jesus couldn't come in their lives. And it was a way before the coming of the Lord, right? Then I saw the wedding ring, which tells me that he was married to Sarah. Well, Sarah means princess, and a princess is a daughter of the king. So she represents the bride here who is spiritually married to the man-child. Well, I thought the bride was married to Jesus. Yes, but listen. John said of Jesus, as our type of the man-child, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Amen? And so Jesus was leading this first fruits group of people, and he called them the bride. And here was Jesus, the bridegroom, and his purpose then was to sow the seed of the word in the bride so that they in turn could continue to sow it, right? The man-child body sows the seed of the word in the end-time bride. Okay. What a nice revelation. And he was so happy to share this news with me. Yeah, that I am a friend of God and you are a daughter of God. He was so happy to share this news with me, she said. And I was elated to hear it. I bet. Praise God. The Holy Spirit, let me talk about this just a second here. The Holy Spirit's anointing is what enables us to win the race. Now, I got this revelation from Joe Britt back on 9/11. Lots of dreams came on 9/11, you know. And in this dream, Joe said, I know I'm sitting in the driver's seat, the right-hand side, of a racing car. And I asked somebody to check the oil. They removed the cover of the engine sitting next to me, to my left, and I see a number of oil cans that seems to be empty. So he's obviously putting oil in the engine, right? Someone said that I will need 2 cans per tank of fuel. Well, racing engines use a lot of oil, and you have to make sure you keep that up. Good oil makes the engine last a lot longer, and it has to be very durable, right? And we know that the oil represents in the scripture the Holy Spirit, right? So Joe said, I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but make them known unto thy children and to thy children's children. So keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which God gave to you. Many are doing that nowadays. They're forgetting everything God gave them, casting it aside to walk in evil paths, lest they depart from thy heart. You know, when God gives you these good things, he expects you to do something with them, and he expects you to pass them on. So what I see here is that we're running a race. Things we have learned are like this verse, like it's already finished by the sacrifice of Jesus. That's the gospel. Like we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. That's the gospel. If we forget this by the tribulations and troubles that come upon us to distract us, and the devil putting condemnation on us because we haven't remembered and kept in our mind the fact that we're dead. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And we cast down all of his condemnation and get up and go on. And the things that we learned are also that we've been given all authority. Everything Esther needed was given her to go out of the house of the women and into the house of the king. And this vehicle that we are given needs a constant refilling of the Holy Spirit oil to keep going. And so, you know, even in the book of Acts, we see that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then later on, they were refilled with the Holy Spirit when they prayed. Does this happen for the normal believers nowadays? If they're filled with the Spirit, they can get refilled with the Spirit. We have to constantly put oil in the engine, right? Amen. Okay. I'm going to share with you another revelation here, which is kind of cute. And this was given to Sandy Shaw. On August the 17th, 2019. And we called it The Demons Try to Stop the Dreamers. The Demons Try to Stop the Dreamers. You remember on the last revelation of this series, I also shared a dream that was like that. Well, we got another one. And we know this is true. We know it's absolutely true. We've experienced it. They're doing everything they can. They're praying and they're sending curses and they're doing this and they're doing that to try to stop the dreamers. And Don and Merlene transcribed this for Sandy. And here it goes like this. In this dream, I don't know where I was, but what was unusual was that I saw Vanessa walking up to Barry, who was sitting on a tree stump playing his guitar. And she said, "Barry, I had a dream, and I want to talk to you about it." And that is when I started to pay attention, when the dream was mentioned. That's when a demon started coming for Vanessa. I ran and jumped to cover Vanessa and Barry, saying, "They're covered by the blood. You cannot touch them." The demon looked to see if there was an opening. He saw that there wasn't, and I yelled, "Be gone!" So we're called to be, as the scripture says, our brother's keeper and do spiritual warfare for each other. We can plead the blood over people who are being attacked and over people who are doing the work of the kingdom so that they don't have to carry their swords with them. They don't have to be attacked. They have important jobs to do. The prophetic voice has been speaking through the dreamers and giving us quite good wisdom and direction. And when we apply the word to that, it confirms it and so on. And so we should do this too, especially for the dreamers, anybody that works on the material. Listen, this is who the devil hates and all of his demons hate. They'll use anybody they can to stop our materials from getting out there, to stop the dreamers from giving us more proof and evidence against them, because the dreamers always point out the wickedness of these people. And so the devil, who is speaking through them and walking through them and doing through them, is trying to stop this. And they will try to stop the people that work on the books and the people that work on the videos and the people that work on getting the gospel out to save people. They've been working diligently to stop them. So you need to pray for them, right? Do spiritual warfare for them. Cover them with the blood, right? Like Sandy said, they're covered by the blood. You can't touch them. That's a binding right there. If you bind them, they have to be bound. They're bound from heaven if you bind them, right? And then I saw Eve sitting at a table writing down a dream. And right away I saw a different demon with a big beak. I ran and covered Eve. I had my hands crossed over her head, one hand bracing the other at the wrist that was covering her head, saying, "She is covered by the blood of Jesus. You cannot harm her." The demon came and charged at me with his beak at my arm, and when he did this, his beak cracked, and he flew back. I knew he was going to charge again, and I said, "She is covered by the blood of the Lamb of God." And when the beak hit my arm, part of it broke right off. Once again, remember to do this. Saints, pray for the people who are getting the gospel out. Pray for the dreamers who are supporting them, etc., etc., and who are also getting the gospel out, because the gospel is all through these revelations, as you can see. So this is God telling us to pray for them and to cover them with the blood. That's the major idea all through this revelation, covering them with the blood. And I was praying in tongues with authority, and the demon was coming back for another hit. And when he did, his beak was dangling as he disappeared. Now, all of a sudden, I was in Merlene's backyard. Notice all of these are dreamers, right? She was in her swing with a notebook and pen in hand, and she was thinking of a dream that she had received. A big demon was going to take her out. I ran and jumped and somehow had her covered. I was going the same speed as the moving swing. So, once again, through faithful prayer, we're victorious over the demons who war against us, right? Then I said, "She is covered by the blood. You cannot harm her in any kind of way." The demon was looking for a way to come in and could not find it. And then it left. And all of a sudden, I'm in the demon's den. I'm in the demon's den. The first demon I saw that was assigned to Vanessa was getting yelled at. "Did you finish your assignment?" "No, Lord, she was covered by the blood." "Well, that never stopped you before, you stupid idiot." Yes, the devil does talk that way. Then I see the demon that was attacking Eve. And the devil said, "Did you complete your assignment?" He said, "No. She was completely covered by the blood. There was no way I could penetrate. Look at my face." The devil said, "I don't care about your stupid face." The devil, and he doesn't. And the devil said, "I gave you each an assignment. I expect you to carry it out." Then the last demon came in. "Did you finish your assignment?" He said, "No, Lord, she was completely covered." "None of you damned idiots can accomplish anything." And the smallest demon that had been attacking Vanessa said, "Well, Lord, you never showed me how to attack the blood and win." And, of course, he doesn't know. And now I'm in David and Michael's house. And they're sitting in their chairs. They have three different dreams in front of them. And David says, "Well, Michael, what do you think about these dreams?" Michael said, "Well, they all definitely go together." That's really the miracle of this stuff. It always works that way. They all come together. "They all definitely go together," Michael said. David said, "Well, this one here, we need to pray and fast for them." Then all of a sudden, there was a huge demon getting ready to attack David. All of a sudden, I had a bucket in my hand. And I flew up to where the demon was, and I hit him so hard in the neck that it broke his neck. And the blood came out of the bucket and covered David and Michael. Well, amen. Thanks for your prayers, saints. We need them. They hate us. And their hooligans hate us. But that's a badge of honor. It's been said that a man will be known by his enemies. If you've got enemies full of hatred, slander, and like I said, they're always chewing on your ankle, then you're in good company, because so all the prophets and all the apostles and Jesus himself also had the same situation. So pray. Oh, I received these verses by faith at random. Malachi 3:10-12. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I know that the tithe here is, of course, a type of our New Testament giving, which is to renounce ownership of everything, because we're not owners of anything anymore. We're stewards of everything that God puts in our hands. In the Old Testament, they were 90% owners and 10% stewards, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit, nor the gifts, nor the provision of the Word that we have. So God's holding us to a higher standard, because Jesus said in Luke 14:33, "So therefore, whosoever be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." So it all belongs to him. We're just stewards. We obey God with whatever is in our hand. If he tells us to give it to someone, we have to do it. Well, he'll replace it every time. And for this, as we can see, God promises great blessings. So let me read this again. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. Oh, gosh, that's lots and lots of heavenly blessings coming for the person that gives according to the will of God. In Old Testament, of course, they had to have a law because they didn't have the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them from moment to moment in every situation. So they had to have a rule, something to go by. And that was, of course, a type and a shadow of what followed, grace. Right? But where grace is given, it's given to people who have much more ability, right? Because they're given God's ability. He said, so for this knowing how to give in the New Testament, you can say that he opens the windows of heaven and pours you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Listen to me, friends. This is coming to the people who are doing this. Not the ones that are stealing from God's people. Not the ones that are slandering God's people. But to those who are giving of their life, their resources, and their needs to others. He listened to what he said. I'll open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now you just remember that, because it's about to happen. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You know the devourer, he's the devil. And of course, devourers are thieves and liars, and they want to steal all the time, like their father the devil, right? He was a thief from the beginning, right, and a liar. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground. He won't be able to take your fruit. What is all this promise for? Is for handling what belongs to God for his kingdom, right? Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said there, all these things shall be given unto you, right? And in Luke 6, he'll give to you. Shaken down and running together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, the Bible says. Again, he goes back. He speaks more blessing here. Neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field. So it will come to full fruition, full and fat healthiness, right, in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Ooh, that is so good. So, the tithe is just a type and a shadow, like all Old Testament things, of our New Testament learning how to give what belongs to God to whoever He wants, and to do for God's people, provide for God's people, meet the needs of God's people, build the temple of God's people, build the new Jerusalem of God's people, right? Like Jesus said, so therefore, whosoever be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So those that are putting you under the law so that they can get rich off of you, by the way, the government did an examination of some of these people that are fat and filthy rich. And they've been caught. And there is some confessions going on out there. You know, I'll just leave it at that. Well, this we can see breaks the power of the devourer and gives us great blessing and fruit and happiness. Ain't God good? Give us so many blessings. Amen. Well, once again, the dreams all fit together very neatly to speak again, walking in the man-child steps. Grace to ascend Zion. Man, child, and bride lead to the rest, etc. Daughters of the King. The Holy Spirit's anointing will win the race, etc. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for constantly speaking to us as our Lord did in parables. Once again, you're repeating history, speaking to us in parables, and taking your disciples aside and privately giving them the understanding of these things. And you speak this way to hide these things from the wise and prudent, but you deliver them unto babes. As our Lord Jesus said, we thank you, Father, that it's a wonderful thing that you do to reveal in simple parable form the things that you want your people to remember and to know how to fight the enemy. Lord, we have authority over the enemy concerning our brethren. If we pray and we exercise spiritual warfare, we can cover them in the blood. Father, today we cover all the workers, the very diligent workers in UBM, and those out there that send in their revelations and things too, that are building in the temple. And all out there, of course, there are many people who are building in the temple because the temple is the people of God. We cover in the blood, Father, these people. You know, and especially the people here in local UBM who are working, and some out there that are not here locally with us, but working by internet, you know, to get these revelations out, whether it be by books or by DVDs or CDs or on the internet or on Access TV or whatever, in whatever form. Lord, we cover them in the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that your servants are covered in the blood. They are delivered from the wicked in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Father, for doing this. Lord, grant us grace, you know, like that helicopter, to overcome all hindrances that seek to stop us from reaching our goal. Thank you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the enemies will not overcome us. They only make us stronger. We appreciate that, Lord. And we ask you to work in every one of us, Lord, to will and to do of your good pleasure, to work your desires in our hearts, Lord, which is the way of salvation. We believe, Lord. We see Jesus in the mirror. We accept the gift that was given unto us to be a part of our lives and to take over from the old man, to conquer the old man of the land, and so that the spiritual man is now ruling in our own personal promised land. Thank you, Father, for doing it, Lord. Thank you for accomplishing it. Thank you that even though even the youth will faint and be weary trying to climb that mountain, but that you are there ready to help when we come to the end of our strength. You are there to help. And so, Lord, we call upon your grace through faith, through the faith that you have given unto us, so that we can take no credit whatsoever. Lord, we call upon your grace to help us to reach the goal on time. Bless us, Lord, with strength to be where we need to be. Bless us, Lord, with the repentance, because the word says you grant repentance. It is your gift to give repentance. Thank you, Lord, for granting us repentance, so that we can make it there on time. Lord, we don't want to fail you. We don't want to fail your people. We want to see the victory. We want to be overcomers. We ask, O Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will continue to be with us, that you will show us your word, that you will bring all things that you have spoken unto us to our remembrance, to defend us against the wicked. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for these dreams and revelations, these parables. They help us to imagine. Our mind works in this way. They help us to imagine what you're saying to us, what you're teaching us. When we can look at physical things, it's kind of like remembering something because you remember certain ideas there, whatever you remember. And so thank you, Lord, that you're helping our imagination and our faith when you give us these parables. And some people don't understand that you're actually telling us, Lord, by the word of God, you're telling us to plead the blood of Jesus over the people that are doing the work. It's hard for them to do the work while they're heckled by demon-possessed people who practice witchcraft, even though they wouldn't call it that. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we already received the victory, and we know a great blessing is coming for your people to supply your people's needs in the coming days and to build the city. We know that when they came out of bondage in Babylon, they had to go back to rebuild what was lost when they fell into sin and the beast conquered them. They had to go back and rebuild. The kingdom looks like it did in your day, Lord, when you walked the earth. It looks like it did when your disciples went out to teach and to do miracles and signs and wonders and to and to heal the sick and to cast out devils, etc. It looks like that. It doesn't look like the things that we have seen since then. It looks like that. You're going to restore that kingdom, except in a much greater, much broader way. Thank you so much, Father, for doing that. We put our trust in you. We know it's a done deal. We're looking forward to seeing the mighty signs and wonders and miracles that get people's attention to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he said back then is still the truth. It hasn't been done away, except for the apostates who have done away with it and remade Christianity in their own image. But the truth is going to go forth again in great signs and wonders and miracles and deliverances and healings and creative miracles in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. We receive it in Jesus' name, and we love you, and we're looking forward to the greater things you keep telling us in our morning prayer meetings that you're going to send. The same signs and wonders and miracles that Jesus did and his disciples after him and disciples all the way down through the ages, as a matter of fact, have not been totally separated from the miraculous works of Jesus. He said, greater works than these shall you do because I go unto the Father. So, Lord, we're looking forward to these greater works, your great signs and wonders. The people pay attention and give notice when this happens. They notice when this happens. They pay attention. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Well, all right, saints, thank you so much for joining us today. We love and appreciate you. We ask you, Father, to send your Holy Spirit with all of the brethren and fill them mightily with your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Father, to draw the brethren and get them into your word every day, feeding the spiritual man the word of God. We ask you to do that, Father, for them in Jesus' name. And also bring our brethren out of captivity to these cults that are out there. Bring them into the true kingdom of God, Father, which is nothing but a manifestation of the word of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And good night, saints. Bless you.